Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. Welcome. This is Brother David Clark coming to you again live, WBOB Studios from Jacksonville, Florida. Glad to have you with us today. Let's all get up and be ready to go to the house of God. I posted a thing on Facebook yesterday reminding everyone, set your alarms, get up and get ready for church. And while you do that, tune on in and listen to us this morning. Let's hear the word of God and just kind of prime the pump for when you get to church and hear your pastor or whoever preach today. Let's enjoy the word of God together. Spend a few minutes in his word before you go to church. I'm always glad to come into your homes, into your automobiles, wherever you may be listening from. Thank you, everyone that tunes in every week on Facebook, via the website, everyone that listens in all of our correctional facilities. I really appreciate you. Every one of you are special to me. I appreciate all of the response, everyone that writes in, everyone that replies. I love you all. And I pray that this is a ministry that blesses you and that you receive from it what God would have you to receive. Let's go into the book of the 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. Last week, we started this message titled, What God Requires. We were talking about salvation last week. We talked about how it's the will of God that you be born again. Now, we're going to continue on in that vein of what God requires, because there is more to this experience with serving God than just the initial salvation. There's more to this thing, so much more. The problem that we find a lot of times is people get born again, they confess their sins, repent of their sins, and they get saved. And from that point on, nothing ever happens, and so they give up because there's nothing else. They feel like there's nothing else to it. And it's such a sad thing, because the fullness of God is so much deeper than just being saved. And it's wonderful. It's a miracle when someone's born again. But there's so much more that God has for you after he saves you. You're not saved just to be saved. You're saved for a reason. God has more for you. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 7. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. There is a process that every one of us go through when we are born again. And the first thing, of course, we talked about last week, you must be saved. It's a traumatic experience. We are washed in the blood of Jesus, and he saves us from our sins. He implants his nature and his character into us. We are given the spirit of Christ, the character and the nature of Christ. Now, that is not to be confused with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, which we will talk about today. But we are given the spirit of Christ, the nature of Christ. When you get saved, you're going to love people. When you get saved, you're going to be different. You're not going to want that world anymore. You're going to have a new personality, a new character. And that new character will be the character of Christ. And that was last week's message, so I'll not labor you with that. So, today we're going to talk about the second work, which is sanctification. And hopefully we'll get into the baptism in the Holy Ghost if time will allow us, but it usually does not. So, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 here is telling us, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So there are things in your life when you're born again, and I am aware this morning that I am addressing the church. I know there's church people listening, but you have to keep in mind that when Brother David goes on the radio and when we're on Facebook Live, there's people watching that are not church people. And so I'm speaking broadly to include everyone. So please don't think that I'm dumbing anything down or that I'm speaking to condescending. It's because we're trying to include everyone that all may know and we would all be on the same page. So you just pray for me this morning. Once you're born again, you got to take it a little bit farther. You got to keep on seeking God. We can't just confess our sins and be happy and content that we're saved. There's so much more and deeper depths and higher heights that God wants to take us to. After you're saved, the work of sanctification begins. Now, a lot of people get saved, of course, and they give up things from the get-go. We know there are certain things that are just sin. Bible says it's sin. We can't do those things. We know that this body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and we have to treat it as such. We understand that. I've heard people that have gotten saved, and they've testified years later that when they got born again, God delivered them from alcoholism, and God delivered them from nicotine addiction, and God delivered them from pornography, and God delivered them from all these other things. And he does that, and it's wonderful. But even besides the initial change that takes place at salvation, God wants to sanctify us into vessels that are usable and vessels that are of honor in his kingdom. He wants to sanctify us by the blood of Christ. Now, this sanctification is a progressive work that he's going to continue until he calls us to glory. If we're doing this right, every day that we live, we're being sensitive to the Spirit, and God's constantly sanctifying us. I can tell you that at age 34, serving God now, there are things that I absolutely will not take part in that at one time in my Christian life, I probably thought there was nothing wrong with. But over time and reading God's word and praying, the Spirit of God has convicted me where I felt condemned over the things that I was doing. That is the process of sanctification in the life of a believer. You know, we tell people all the time, listen to your conscience, listen to your heart, follow your heart. Well, the Bible said you can't trust your own heart. I don't want to lean on just my conscience. I want to depend on the Spirit of God to tell me how I must live. I want to depend on this Word of God that's infallible. This Word of God's is forever settled in heaven. It's never going to change, never going to bend for anybody. I want to depend on something like that to tell me how I ought to live, because I want to make heaven my home and I want to help everybody get there that I can. It's going to require that you and I be sanctified and holy before God. Now, I know in the church, there's a stigma about the word sanctification, and somebody's going to look at you down their long, crooked, self-righteous nose and tell you what their definition of sanctification is. Let me explain something for you this morning so there's no mix-up about it. Sanctification is not defined in one denomination statement of faith. Sanctification is not described in one elderly brother or sister's lecture to the church. It's not described in what any man or woman tells you. Sanctification is described and outlined in the Word of God. And so anything that falls outside that parameter, brothers and sisters, it's not good to live by. But if it's in this Word, it is required. I said it is required. I cannot go based off of what so-and-so said or what they do or they do not do. I'm not fashioning myself after anybody else. I know in the church, we have spiritual role models that we look up to. And, you know, as a preacher of the gospel, I love to read about and to study, and I love to listen to preachers, generals of the faith, and how they live their life. I like to pray in the same room as them. I like to listen to them speak. I like to talk to them. I like to know about their life and how they live to please God. I love it. But listen to me. I cannot fashion my life after another man, because they are just that. They're a man. But I have to fashion myself after the Word of God. Nobody else's rules, nobody else's requirements, only the Word of God. We're talking about sanctification, and it must be the description of sanctification in this book. I would love to be able to just tell everybody how to do it and what to do and what not to do, but you cannot base your sanctification off of what a man says. It must come from the Word of God, because that is the final authority, not a man. So therefore, moving into this, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God and trusting in the Word of God to be sanctified. God's going to lead you. After you're born again, you're going to be able to feel the leadership of God. He's going to nudge you. You'll begin to take part in things, and something on the inside is going to say, this is not becoming of a child of God. This is not behavior that a child of God should take part in. If you'll be sensitive, now you can override that voice, but if you'll be sensitive to him, he will lead you and guide you. The Spirit of God will lead you. He'll show you things that you've never seen before. And as you read scripture, and as you study, and as you attend a good spirit-filled church, and you get under a good spirit-filled pastor that loves your soul and wants to lead you to heaven, he's going to preach and he's going to instruct you, and it's up to you to take it home and to pray about it and to get in God's word and find it for yourself and apply it to your heart and let God sanctify you into a vessel of honor that he can use for his service. Now, sanctification is not, you know, contrary to some people's belief, sanctification is not only how you dress and what you look like on the outside. There is so many different things I could say about that. Having been raised in the Pentecostal church, and folks, I believe in Bible holiness. I believe in sanctification. I believe in living modest. I believe in being conservative. But I also believe that there ain't nothing worse than a nasty, old, muddy heart that's cloaked with what on the outside people describe as sanctification. It's a false doctrine. It's a false religion. You can cloak this thing however you want it. It's the same thing as sending a dog outside in the mud, letting him wallow around, bringing him inside, and spraying some doggy cologne on him and telling everybody he's had a bath. That's just simply not the case. It may smell a little bit different on the outside. You may think that it's all right, but after a while it's going to get mud on everything. Whenever God sanctifies somebody, folks, it's always going to start on the inside. The life of that believer is going to be drastically changed by the power of God, and this is how you're going to know if they've got the goods. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit or the evidence of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. This is Christ likeness. We can talk about sanctification all day long. You can tell me about how long your hair is. You can tell me about things you do or do not do, how you don't gamble, how you don't cuss. You can tell me and build yourself up as high as you want to. But if the fruit, if the evidence of the Spirit, of the character of Christ is not being manifest in your life, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to hear your teaching. I'm not going to listen to your preaching. I don't want to hear your testimony. If you're not born again, number one, but number two, if your heart is filthy, if your spirit is filthy, if your attitude is ugly, don't tell me about being sanctified. Don't tell me about how holy that you are. If the fruit of the Spirit, if the evidence of the Holy Ghost is not being put on display in your life, I don't want to hear what you've got to say. It's time to get back in the altar and to give yourself to God and let him clean you up from the inside. The problem with the Pentecostal church today is we get people in and want to throw clothes on them and to make them so everybody thinks they're all right. You can dress up a monkey. You can dress up a giraffe, put him in a suit and tie, sit him on a church pew, but he's still going to be a wild animal because that's his nature. You got to change the nature of a man. Sanctification is a change, a cleaning, a purifying of the inside. We got to get this thing right. What we have created is a church, is a generation full of people who know how to appear sanctified. They know how to appear clean. They know how to appear like everything is right. But on the inside, they're just as dirty and just as black as you can imagine. Wednesday night at my home church, I preached a message on preserving Pentecost, and I brought in a can of 70-year-old preserves that was put up by my wife's grandmother years and years ago. And that was the ugliest mess you ever seen in your life. I don't even know what was in it. It looked like it may have been pickles at one time, but now it's black, it's muddy, it's cloudy. It ain't nothing that you'd ever want to consume. No, we don't even want to open the lid on it because we're afraid of how bad it would reek and stink. But listen to me. At one time, the intentions was for that to be preserved for consumption. But over the time, what was on the inside was rotten. What was on the inside was not clean and fit for eating. It's the same way in a man or a woman. Listen, you may have the prettiest mason jar on the outside. You may have the prettiest shiny lid on the outside. You may do everything right on the outside, in man's opinion. But if on the inside you're not filled with the Spirit of Christ, and the love and the power of the Holy Ghost working on the inside, then what you've got on the outside is of no concern to me. I'm concerned with the proof, with the fruit, with the evidence of the Spirit on the inside. It's nothing worse to me than to listen to someone stand up and testify and tell everybody how holy they believe that they are in their own eyes, and on the inside, they're a ravening wolf. They'll tear you apart in 2 seconds. They'll lie. They'll misrepresent the word of God. They'll slander and gossip folks. They'll do all these things. The evidence and the fruit of the Spirit is not there. But my brothers and my sisters, there is still a way of sanctification that when you get it right, it'll clean the heart of a man. You'll feel the evidence. You'll feel the love. You'll recognize the Spirit of God on the inside of that man or that woman, that boy or that girl. You will know that this person has been truly transformed. We have mastered the art of cloaking everything with man's idea of holiness when on the inside their heart is just as black as mud. And the problem with that is that's on that cloak, that facade is only going to get you so far. And then after a while, somebody's going to need you to pray. Hear me. Somebody's going to need you to intercede. Somebody's going to need you to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody's going to need you to be an anointed saint of God. But the proof is not going to be there. The power's not going to be there because on the inside, you're still just as carnal. You're still just as sinful as you were before you came to the church, because the inside has never been transformed. It is so dangerous for us to put on a facade and so everybody thinks we're all right, but that's what's going on in the church today. Oh, that the fruit of the Spirit, oh, that the manifestations of Christ would be evident in the heart of a man again. Oh, that people would be put on display, the power of the Holy Ghost in cleanliness and holiness and sanctification, that the church would return to being a place of the character of Christ. Now, 1 Thessalonians that we read, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. We know that it's the will of God that a man be sanctified and clean. Now, this is not only talking about, like we said, on the outside, and the inside's going to represent Christ. If it's not Christ, it's not sanctified. Listen to me. If it's not loving like Christ, it's not sanctified. If it's not giving like Christ, it's not sanctified. If it's not serving like Christ, it's not sanctified. If it exalts itself, it's not Christ. It's not sanctified. Christ was the embodiment of sanctification. He is holiness. Listen to me. Christ is holiness. You talk about holiness and sanctification. If it's not Christ, then you're not doing it right. If it's not giving Him glory, if these fruits of the Spirit are not being manifest, if they're not being shown in your life, then you're not doing it right. We need to go back to the altar and get a hold of it again, because it's more than just a hairstyle. It's more than just a wardrobe. It's more than just a testimony. It's more than carrying yourself around Walmart so everybody sees how you dress. It's more than just an outward facade. Sanctification is a work of the heart. God wants to clean us from the inside. God wants to change us from the inside. It's going to change everything, brethren. It's going to change everything, sisters. Our hobbies are going to change whenever He sanctifies us. Our thoughts are going to change when He sanctifies us. Our love for our brothers is going to change whenever He sanctifies us. Our nature is going to change when He sanctifies us. We're going to emanate the love of Christ. We're going to be giving. We're going to be generous. We're going to be serving to others. We're going to have a heart of a servant. We're going to esteem others higher than ourselves. We're going to put ourselves last and everybody else first. You won't have to talk to somebody about having bad manners in a restaurant if they're sanctified. You won't have to talk to somebody about being ugly to a waitress, or tipping a waitress, or treating somebody like they ought to be treated, or cheating on your taxes, or misrepresenting your time at work on the time clock. These are things that a Christian of all people, sanctified of all people, we ought to have it right. Listen, you can, I know people this morning that claim to be born again and sanctified, but listen to me. There's so much garbage going on, naming the name of Christ under the cloak of what they think sanctification is, but they'll lie and cheat and steal and gossip. They'll run the preacher down. They'll cheat. They'll talk about everybody and their neighbor. They'll try to do everything that they can to swindle the government out of money, cheat and lie and steal. Listen to me. It's still sin if this Bible says it's sin. I don't care what you look like. I don't care who your mama is. I don't care what church you started. I don't care how long you've been the pastor. If it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck, brothers, it's a duck this morning. If it talks like Christ, if it walks like Christ, if it loves like Christ, then it's sanctified. But otherwise, we need to go back to the altar and let Him perform this work in us again. Sanctification is a work that starts on the inside. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. You see, there's more to this morning that God wants to do with us, and we'll never get there if we don't get this right. We must be sanctified, but not man's definition of sanctification. You can't read it in the code of conduct. You can't read it in the declaration of faith, the doctrinal practical commitments. You've got to find it in the Word of God. You've got to get it from Scripture. This is God's standard for living. You got to get it from this Bible, and if it's not in the confines of this Bible, it's man. If it's not in this good book, it's man. We got to live by the Word. Word of God this morning. We got to go back to being a Bible-based church. God wants us to live this word. He went to great lengths to inspire by the Holy Ghost men of God to write the words that are in these blessed pages for you and I to consume and to live by. Winds of doctrine come to and fro. Every new fad, every new fashion, every new generation, there's different people coming up claiming to have a new formula for living holy, claiming to have a new approach to old things. But brothers and sisters, there ain't nothing new under heaven. Everything in this book is eternal. God wants us to live by this blessed book, and we can make it to heaven. Hallelujah to God. I don't want to go by man's opinion. I want the character and the nature of Christ to be emulated through my life. Now, we're going to have to get into the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I got 6 minutes left, and not a lot of time to touch on it. But after the work of sanctification, we got to keep on going. We don't need to stop there, brothers and sisters. After we're born again, and then he sanctifies us real good, and we're living for God the best of our ability, and we're loving like Jesus, and we're living like Jesus, and he's cleaned us up on the inside, and that vessel is all good and washed up. He wants to pour the power of the Holy Ghost in you. I said he wants to pour the power of the Holy Ghost in you. In the olden days, in the Old Testament, those priests were the only ones that could go into the Holy of Holies. We know that when Jesus died on Calvary, the veil was rent and the presence of God was then accessible to anybody. That we don't have to go through a priest anymore. We don't have to go through anybody over us to talk to God. We can enter in boldly into the Holy of Holies now. But not only can I go into the Holy of Holies, but God wants to put the Holy of Holies in me. He wants the Spirit of God to dwell in man. Christ's example to us was, yes, we must repent and be born again. Yes, you must be sanctified, but then also following Christ as he was God in man, God wants us to be endued with the Spirit of God so that we can have his power deposited in us. So we can be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled. It's the will of God that his church be Spirit-filled. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost is your comforter. He is your interceder. He is your companion. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you. Listen, this is a list of the gifts of the Spirit that are supposed to be in operation today to those churches who claim to be Spirit-led. Listen, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, healing, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We are a far cry from what the New Testament church in the book of Acts was, but God wants us to be that in 2020. He desires for us to be a New Testament church that is reaching this world, that is discipling people, and we're led by the Spirit of God. I'd hate to know that I came to Christ and all there was to serving God was just kneeling at an altar one time and crying, and then everything else was the same forever. I'd hate to know there was nothing else to serving God other than just church attendance. But people, listen to me this morning. There is so much more that God has for us if we would just seek him and knock and talk to him. He would open the door. He would answer us if we will seek him. God wants to give us the Spirit of God. He wants you to be endued with power. He wants you to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. It comes from the baptism in the Holy Ghost of God. God wants to fill you with this blessed promise. It is absolutely the will of God that you be born again, that you be sanctified, and that you be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. It is required that we seek after this gift. It is required that we desire these gifts from God, exercising the gifts of the Spirit, power to witness, power to exalt Christ, power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, power to call down heaven and see fire, power to lay hands on those that are demon-possessed and watch the demons flee, power to lay hands on those that are dead and watch them live again. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. It's for us today. The Spirit of God is for me and you. God desires for his people to be a people that are endued with power, saved, sanctified, and Spirit-filled. filled. It's the will of God. Hell can't do nothing with somebody that is filled with the power of God. Listen to Brother David one more time. I said, hell can't do nothing with nobody that is filled with the power of God. All hell may rage against you, he said, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Go on in God this morning. I love you and praying for you. Next week, Brother Tommy Ledford will be here and speaking for you, and I pray that it blesses you. I'll be back week after next. God bless you. I love you. Let's all get to church this morning and worship God. Have a good Sunday in the Lord. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.